Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
His blood for you and I. Jesus gave us a name above all principalities that we can call on for deliverance. Some are trying to make out like Jesus is the homeboy that they hang out with. While he is a friend that is closer than a brother, I think he deserves honor and not be brought down to humanity, and thereby also reducing his power in our lives. When we attach the limitations of humanity to him, we also limit our own ability to believe him for all that he can do. We must respect the authority and highness of our Lord. You would not meet the president and say, "Yo, what up, man?" You wouldn't go up to the Joint Chief of Staff and say, "What up, bruh?" Would you? Amen. You recognize their rank, height, authority, and you give them respect due their office. Also, if you are depending on them to sustain you, help you, benefit you in any way, you certainly would not address them so loosely. And I was hoping that I didn't need to explain it, but I just want you to know that there's all kind of people in high positions on earth. If you are working at a place, you don't go into your supervisor's office with something that you have on your mind that you need them to do and go up to them talking about, "Yo, what up, bud? Yeah, give me some. No, you go in there with respect, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so, or they might just require you to call them by their first name, but you would go in there with an attitude of respect. Your voice would be a respectful tone, amen. Even your eyes would be directed in a specific way where it is respectful, amen. If I expect success in my prayer, the name of Jesus must be that name called upon to invoke the power and provoke the move of him unto whom I pray. In Psalm 3, it says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." Salah, I didn't give that to you all. Don't worry about it. It's just I wanted to put this in. When you cry unto the Lord, you're crying unto him, calling on his name. You're not calling on your next door neighbor's name. You don't call him with a made up name. But when you need God to move for you, you call him by his name. Y'all are too quiet in here for me. There are those who have labored in education becoming physicians, and they demand to be called doctor in recognition of that accomplishment. There are those who have become attorneys and require you to call them counselor or a judge that requires you to call him judge or your honor. These are great feats of educational prowess, yet not one of them died for me. Not one of them can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not one can forgive me of my sins. Not one of them can feel what I am going through in the midnight hour and counsel me, encourage me. Blood was shed to give us use of that name of Jesus, but it is Jesus only, and I think I'll give him honor. Okay, y'all, we can finally go to the scripture verse in Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord. Look, this word fear is not being in trembling and scared, but the word fear here is to reverence the Lord, to be in awe of the Lord. How many of you, when you were little kids, you was in awe of your daddy? You were little and you could only lift, let's say, 15 pounds, but you'll watch daddy pick something up that you couldn't even budge, and you would look at him like, "Ooh, he's strong." So you looked at your dad as something special. Y'all hear little kids be at the park and they're talking to each other, but my daddy can do this. And then the other one said, but my daddy can do this. And they're going back and forth. My daddy's stronger than your daddy. My daddy is better looking than your daddy. My daddy is taller than your daddy. Because your daddy is somebody to you. Amen. And you look up to him. You reverence him because in your house, he is the authority. In your house, he is the man of the house. So you look up to him and there ain't nobody else like him. And guess what? I don't think that Sister T and Sister CJ was walking around in the house when they saw their daddy and said, what's up, Carlos? Amen. They back there laughing. I know better than that. They wasn't saying, yay, hey, Collins, come in. That was not how, because that was not going to be a respectful way for them to approach him, to get his attention. And I'm sure if one of them had said, yo, what up, Collins, he'd have looked at them. I saw a picture earlier today, you know, Facebook memories, and I saw a picture of y'all standing together, and Charles was in the group, and I got a feeling that Charles must have been messing up or something, because Deacon Collins' eyes was on him. Everybody else looking at the camera smiling, but Deacon Collins was giving him a look like, boy, you better straighten up. Amen. And I could imagine if they turned the corner and saw their daddy and said, what up, Collins? I would imagine they would get that stare down. I would imagine that whatever they were wanting to ask daddy for, they could probably assume they're not going to get it for calling him in a disrespectful way. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings, and he deserves our reverence. He deserves our respect. In Psalm 119, it says, holy and reverend is his name. That's why I won't let nobody call me Reverend Magnus, because the Bible says holy and reverend is his name. My name ain't reverend. My name is not holy. I just happen to have a name, and no matter what my title is, I'm not reverend, but one is reverend, and his name is Jesus. Come on and shout hallelujah. So I'm just trying to get us to understand here that Jesus is, what is he? He is someone to be regarded, respected, revered, honored, and awed, and we should call him by his name, the name of honor, the name that is above all names, the name of glory, the name of power that can see you through whatever you are dealing with. Again, the fear of the Lord. Fear is reverence and awe. Let me read a few bullet points here. Man too often attempts to sanction different approaches and terminologies that people would like to use in order to keep them encouraged. Y'all, that's dangerous. Or to not damage them. So here it is. Too many of us are sanctioning terminology that has not been sanctioned by the Bible. Because we have our wisdom that, of course, is greater than the wisdom of God. And in our wisdom, we say, oh, baby, you go on and call God whatever. You got a relationship with him. You call on him whatever way you feel like you need to call on him. But that's not scripture. Amen. So just not to damage their little ego, we say, do it the way you feel. But that's too, what's happening too often. People are doing it the way they feel. And if you want results, if you want success, it comes in the name of Jesus and no other name. Amen. Amen. So we do this. We sanction. You know, I like this show called Gunsmoke. Y'all ever seen it? I'm kind of hooked on Gunsmoke. Y'all ain't never seen Gunsmoke? James Arness. And they play the theme music and they're introducing all the characters. And before they get to the primary character, the star of the show, they rev the music up and make it very dramatic. And all of a sudden, and they say, James Arness as Matt Dillon. Amen. And in one of the episodes, he has amnesia, and this woman brings him into her house to help get him well, and they sit down at dinner, And she begins to pray and she says, hey, big chief upstairs. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, on one side, you could say, well, at least she is reverencing him. Well, she ain't calling him little chief. She's not saying, you who is subject unto me, we can justify it any way we want to justify it. But it is a clear indication that you do not have a relationship with the big chief that you're calling on. Because if you had a relationship, you would call him by his name and you would reverence him according to what the book says. Amen. Come on, somebody in this place. So we tend to sanction terminologies, and we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and we want to encourage them. However, allowing them to use tools that won't bring success is greater damage than the little damage that would happen to their ego. Because if you want success, there's a certain way to go about it. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in the Bible, we see that there is a way that you approach kings. You can't just go up into the inner court where the king is. You've got a way that you got to go through. There are methods. There's a ceremonious way that you approach the king. You can't just walk up to the king. And when you go to the king, you better use very respectful language, because if you don't, you may lose your life. Now with Jesus, I'm not saying that he would take your life for not being respectful, but I will tell you, don't expect him to do what you want to do if you can't do it using his name. Reverence, our hearts must be in a place of honoring God. We must be in awe of him. We don't call those we reverence by some other name. Right. Amen. Amen. We cannot be in awe of one person calling them by some other name. If I reverence him, and fear is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise instruction and wisdom, I must be a fool if I decide to call the great God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by some other name. Amen.
Amen.
And so the one we are in awe of, he whom we reverence, we revere enough to respect the name he answers to. Somewhere around about our sophomore, junior year, a fellow we used to call Ego all the way through grade school and junior high and those first couple of years of high school, we called him Ego all the time. His head was shaped like an egg, so we called him Ego. Y'all would have fights nowadays behind that kind of stuff, but everybody had a nickname. I was Blockhead. And when I wasn't Blockhead, I was a Nazi spy, because I was born in Germany, so they make fun of me and call me a Nazi spy. And with these cow licks on each side, they call me Blockhead. And I would go somewhere and somebody would say, what's up, Block? I said, what's up, BB? BB, it was because his hair was nappy, and called him BB Head. But listen, at some point you begin to mature and you don't want that stuff no more. And Ego came in first week of school, and everybody that called him Ego, he stopped them and very assertively said, my name is not Ego. My name is Anthony. And not because anybody thought that he might fight them or beat them up for calling him Ego. He delivered a very assertive message that said, my name is Anthony. That's what I'll be called by. Guess what we called him after that day? We have gone 10, 11 years calling him Ego, but on this day, he said, that won't work anymore because my given name is Anthony. So we began to call him Anthony. Why? We respect him and we respect what he said he wants to be called. If I'll do that for a human being, why wouldn't I do that for the great God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of Kings?
Amen.
And especially if I want success. I ain't going to take away your pet names, your terms of endearment. You want to use them, but we're about to find out. If you use them, you should not expect anything from the Lord.
All right.
In Acts 4:10-12, It says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By what name? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. I didn't go, the apostle is letting us know, I didn't go up and call on Big Chief to heal him. In the name of Big Chief, heal him. Amen. In the name of my big brother, heal him. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that you crucified, the one that you didn't think anything of, the one that you didn't think you needed to revere his name, the one you still don't realize that you need his power to overcome whatever you are going through. By this name, this man was lame a few minutes ago, but now he's been made whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Don't y'all know we got folk who say that they love the Lord and they following the Lord, and they still are just like this verse, the stone which was set at naught of you builders. They don't think enough of the name to baptize in his name. They don't think enough of the name to say his name in healing. Amen. But when they need money, they know how to call on that name. Come on, somebody in this place. The name is the name of salvation, but people bypass the salvation with the name and say, well, I need money now, so I'll call upon your name. But I want you to know that Jesus, the name Jesus, is salvation. Amen. Salvation belongs to the name of Jesus. And if you want to be saved, you got to do it. One song said, I got saved one day calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Jesus. I didn't use any other name. I didn't use any terms of endearment. I didn't use any pet names, but it was the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation. This is scripture here, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Anybody in here want to be saved? Amen. You know, I tell you that I am saved. I am saved. But just because I am saved don't mean I don't raise my hand to say I want to be saved, because I still got the next few minutes that I might be alive, the next few hours, next few days, next few weeks, next few years. And Lord, I want to be saved, and the only way I'm going to be saved is if I continue to call on the name of Jesus. Once you come to the Lord, you can't stop calling on his name. Once you get baptized, that ain't it. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, that ain't it. The Holy Ghost equips you to do what you need to do. You can't stop right there and be stagnant and not go where you need to go, because you need to be saved. Jesus is salvation. How do you get saved? You read his word. You study his word. You live his word. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost yet, you read his word. You study his word. You live his word until the Holy Ghost come upon you and fill you. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and fills you, you read his word. You study his word. You live his word. And the Holy Ghost in you will activate that word and cause you to live holy. Without that word, you can't live holy. Without the Holy Ghost to connect you to that word, you can't live holy. Amen. And you will always be in need of deliverance without the word. The word is the deliverer. Peter and all the apostles respected Jesus. They never called him anything but Jesus, Lord, Savior. Always titles of honor, and they were titles that were given to them, not titles they decided to conjure up. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
When they prayed looking for spiritual success, they always prayed how? In the name of Jesus. Y'all say, this is an awful academic, awful elementary message for the pastor to preach. Well, I'm finding out we got folk been saved for decades, and they still think that they can do an end around the name of Jesus. I'm just trying to bring you back to understand that without the name of Jesus, we ain't got nothing. got to keep moving though, because I want to get to the good part here. All right. So they never called him anything but Jesus, Lord, Savior, always titles of honor. And when they prayed in the name of Jesus. When they wanted to invoke his power, somebody say invoke. See, the only way you're going to get what you need is by doing it the right way. Shakespeare said, arose by any other name, it smells as sweet. Ain't that right, Nathan? Y'all do Romeo and Juliet at school? All right? And Juliet is saying, arose by any other name, still smells as sweet. In other words, making an impassioned plea that Romeo is all right. He's a good guy. He just don't have the name that other people have. That's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff. But we need to find out that Shakespeare is just a play, a playwright. And Romeo and Juliet is just a play, amen. But these things are not applicable to the Word of God unless they fall in and under subjection to the Word of God. We've got to stop making the sayings and phrases of the world, causing them to be the director of our lives and turning them into doctrine when the Word is sitting right here, ready to be used, ready to guide our lives. But the problem with that statement is that I want to see you go to the florist and ask for a lily and think you're going to get a rose. Walk up to the florist and say, give me some baby's breath. What are they going to give you? Walk up to the florist and say, you know what? Give me a daisy. What are they going to give you? Not until you ask for a rose will you get a rose. So you can say all you want to, yes, you can call Jesus any name you want to call him, and he is still God. He is still Lord. You have not stripped away any of his power, but for you to get what's in the name of Jesus, you need to stand in the name of Jesus. You need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to live the life of holiness that's in Jesus. And it's unacceptable to try to go about it any other way. If we want to experience spiritual success, it can only be done through the name of Jesus. For I can do all things how? Say it loud. Through Christ which strengtheneth me. It is not, hey dude, big man upstairs, yo bro. These methods of addressing the Lord do not confer the level of honor that he is due. They bring Jesus down to the level of man, and along with that, our expectations. So if you start calling Jesus like and referring to him like you refer to your buddy, you're not going to expect any more from him than you expect from your buddy. Because now you brought him down to a carnal and fleshly state. So now you don't expect him to do anything above a carnal and fleshly state. That's why people stay in a materialistic mind, always calling on God for something material, something physical. And God is there for something that is spiritual. And once we are spiritual, we can realize the physical. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed. Y'all, this ain't just me talking. Y'all say, he up there screaming and hollering, spitting in that microphone, and it's all emotional. I'm emotional because I get emotional about the word. I get emotional about seeing people deviating from the word of God, and they think when the pragmatic word of God comes forth that that's what's false rather than the doctrines of the world. I remember Paul saying, I'm jealous over you that you will listen to somebody else rather than the word that I'm preaching to you. He said, I fear that you will be drawn by it rather than by the true word which I am speaking unto you. And that's why a pastor would get emotional, because in his prayer, when he is praying for you, he is praying for you and God is showing him physical manifestations of your faith, showing him whether that you have the light of God upon you, whether that you are confused, whether that you are down, whether that you are walking in the word or outside the word, and the pastor doesn't come and approach you directly and say, you ain't saved, you need to get saved. But the pastor's obligation is to get into the word and see what God is showing him or her to enlighten you with, and then his prayer is, Lord, please let them hear what they need to hear so that they can be saved, and stay away from the doctrines of the world.
Thank you, Lord.
And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of what?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus. Y'all say Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Is this Bible?
Yes.
Is it what the word says?
Yes.
Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it how? In the name of Jesus. So in other words, the name of Jesus is all power, and it is to be called upon in all things that we do. If you're in sin, you know you ain't calling on the name of Jesus. I've heard tell of somebody saying that they was on their way to do sin and asking the Lord, Lord, keep me from getting killed. You can call on the name of Jesus all you want to, being in sin. But there ain't no guarantee that you won't have the swift repercussions of that sin. So ain't no guarantee just because you called on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is to be called on in the spiritual things that you do, in your want to be delivered from the fleshly carnal things. So you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Amen. To see the power of God at work, we must do what we do in the name of Jesus. Do we want success?
Yeah.
Do we want real results?
Yeah.
Then it's got to be done in the name of Jesus. Our last scripture passage here is Colossians 1. And it reads, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen to this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have forgiveness of sins. What does the scripture say about the forgiveness of sins? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. That is the removing of your sin. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. That's Bible. And we see in the Bible that your sins cannot be removed by any other name. You can't say, hey, big chief, move my sin. Hey, big bro, remove my sin. Yo, brother man, it ain't none of that. It's in the name of Jesus. So, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, does God look like what the bodily form that we saw Jesus? It said the image, so that must be what God looks like, the bodily form that we saw in Jesus, right?
Amen.
The image is the actions and the power, the holiness and righteousness that was in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You saw God when you saw the actions and the power and the holiness that is and was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so when the one disciple said, Jesus, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. And Jesus turned and said, have I been so long time with you and you've not known me, Philip? When you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Why is that? Now, see, y'all going back on the scripture, because the scripture said, no man can see God and live. That's why he had a veil on. When you read over in Psalm, David is talking about God coming down, bowing the heavens and coming down. But in his description, he never said he actually saw God. He said there was thick clouds of darkness before him. There was fire and hailstorm, but he knew God was there. He had saw that outside part, but he knew it was God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody in this place.
Amen.
So everything you saw me do, Philip, the healing that I did, the raising from the dead that I did, amen, all these things, the healing of the blind, the healing of the leper, the healing of the lame, amen, you've seen how I have walked in holiness and righteousness. You have seen God, and you not only just seen him in me, but when I come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, you'll see him in yourself. If you care to see him, and you'll marvel and you'll be at awe, because you'll say, Lord, I never thought that I could live this way. I never thought that I could turn away from this. I never thought that my speech would be free of profanity. I never thought that I could walk down the road and not think this kind of way. I never thought I could be provoked like this and not hit that brother in the head. I never thought, I never thought, I never thought. Why is it? Because now it's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. You are looking at God. You're looking at the actions of God. You're looking at the mind of God. You're looking at the experience of God in you. So now, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Y'all, I said earlier, you wouldn't walk up to the president and say, yo, what up, man? You wouldn't walk up to a doctor and speak with disrespect, because you reverence the education they have and the title that they have. You wouldn't speak to them with any other name that's outside of their due respect. Amen. And here we have scripture telling us that he is above all things visible and invisible. Anything that's in earth, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And we're going to call him something other than what he told us to call him. If you want success, if you want results, they come how? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we all have our own personal relationship with the Lord, and because of our personal relationship, it's just like when you look in the scripture and we saw Gideon and he said, Jehovah Shalom, he's a God of peace, because at first he was thinking, if I'm talking to an angel of God, I must be in trouble. And he began to tremble, thinking of the terror that existed with the presence of God. But after he had spoken to the angel, he realized God is a God of peace. So you do realize things in your relationship with God whereby you have a term of endearment for him. I'm not going to take that away from you, but what I am going to take away from you is calling upon him with the terms of endearment rather than the name of Jesus Christ. Because if you want success, if you want results, if you want spiritual enlightenment, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. And he is before all things. He's before all things. Only one person I know is before all things. That's God.
Amen.
Only one person can make all things, to create all things, and then all things were created for him. That's God. But who are we talking about here? Jesus, who is God. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is our last scripture verse. By him all things consist. It is said that the entire universe is upheld by the name of Jesus. All things are able to be held together by the name of Jesus. Oh, we got science that says it's gravity, but who brought the gravity in? Who caused the moon to stay where it is? Who caused the sun to stay where it is? How many of y'all are old enough to remember when the cosmonauts went up and they were going to blow up the moon? Raise your hand if you remember. The Soviet astronauts, Deacon Collis, remember, they were going to go up there and blow up the moon, but on their way going to the moon, they blew up. By him, all things consist. If they go up there and blow up the moon, it's going to mess up the whole gravitational pull system that we have that keeps us where we need to be. So by God, all things consist. And he wouldn't allow cosmonauts to go up and make things inconsistent. Come on, somebody. So understand, if you plan to have results, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. And it's all right for you to have your terms of endearment, amen, and call upon the name of the Lord. But I want you to realize today that what we are talking about is that Jesus is, and I think he deserves the honor to be called by his name. And I want you to permeate it into your mind to say, when I leave here today, before I leave here today, after I leave here today, anytime I want something of the Lord, I'm going to remember the scripture that says, all things that you do in word or deed, do them all, how? In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm not going to bring you down to humanity. I'm not going to anthropomorphize you. Y'all know what that big word is. It's when you make God to appear like man. You give God arms. You give God legs. You give God the human type of eyes. And sometimes we do that to better understand what God is doing. But I want you to understand, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not human. God is not human. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. And what is able to be done in the spirit is much higher than what we can do in the flesh. His ways are above our ways, as high as the heaven is above the earth. And if I want those things that are high above, I need to call upon the name of Jesus, because Jesus is that rose of Sharon. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is that mighty God. Jesus is that midnight counselor. Jesus, that's all right, Brother Andrew. Jesus is the one that fills us all in all. Jesus is the one when your thoughts are down that he can lift you up. Jesus is the one that when you are in depression, he can raise you up and give you joy, unspeakable joy. Jesus is the one that can do that report for you, Sister Pope. Jesus is the one that can illuminate your mind and cause you to do things that you were not able to do. Somebody said, I can call forth those things that be not as though they were. I can't do it, but when I call on the name of Jesus, Jesus can make those things appear that was not in appearance before. That's what he is able to do. That is the power of King Jesus. Once again, he's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. All the other gods are little G's, and they can't do nothing for you. But my God is the big G God, and when I call upon him, he's there for me. Somebody might call him your bro. They might call him a friend, like they call their regular friend. But I don't know what friend you have. When you wake up disturbed at 3 a.m. in the morning, that you can call upon them in your mind, that you can call upon them in your spirit, and they have instant understanding of what you are going through, and able to instantly counsel your soul by way of the scriptures. I don't know what friend is able to do that. I don't know what bra is able to do that. But I can tell you who can. It's nobody else but Jesus that's able to come in. He understood you from the time you were born until the time right now. Nobody can connect the dots like Jesus can connect the dots. You can go to the psychologist and they can hear what you have to say and try to make use of it. But I want you to know that even when you can't explain it, when words fail you, Jesus knows what you're saying unto him. And Jesus knows how to come in and counsel your heart. Jesus knows how to come and bring deliverance. How many of you are looking for deliverance? There's always something else that we're looking for God to do. When he delivered me on yesterday, I started looking for what he's going to deliver me from on tomorrow. When he delivered me last week, I started looking for what he was going to deliver me from the week after. And only Jesus is able to deliver. Jesus is the deliverer. Jesus is the sin burden bearer. Jesus is the only one we can call upon. Stop calling on somebody else. Stop calling on pet names. Stop calling on terms of endearment, because of Jesus and nobody else but Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you even speak a word, the Bible lets me know that he already understood what you were going to say even before you said. I walked to my pastor's office many years ago, decades even, and I was walking in to repent. I was walking in to confess a sin, and pastor said, Magnus, before you ever walked through my office door, that God had already forgiven you, because he already knew your heart. I went through the process, but God already knew my heart. Don't you know God already knows your heart? He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're desiring of him. He knows what your hurts are. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. And since he knows your hurts, let him do something about it. Call upon his name and say, Jesus, this is your son. Jesus, this is your daughter. I need your help right now. I need you to come through on my behalf right now. You've seen my tears. You know my hurt, Lord. Come through. Give me power, Lord. Bring deliverance, Lord. Send me your word. The Bible says you are clean through the word that Jesus has spoken unto you. The word of God will clean you up. There's a song, Brother Andrew, that says, won't he make you clean inside? Oh, come on and shout hallelujah. I'm tired of just asking God for material things. I'm tired of just asking God for money. I'm tired of just asking God for safe passage over the roads and highways. But Jesus, I need something higher than that. I need something more than that. Stop my mind from thinking the way it thinks. Stop my feet from going where they're going, Lord. Stop my mouth from saying the thing that is safe. Stop my actions from being the way they have been. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Ghost. Fill me, Lord, with your Spirit so that I can be saved. Somebody say yes, Lord, in this place. Jesus is. I think he deserves the honor. And when you realize that the honor that he is due is by calling him by his name, you'll start seeing some results. Somebody right now is saying, I just can't seem to get over the hump. It just seems like every time I think I got one foot in front of the other foot trips over something, and I just can't seem to progress. But I want you to know that Jesus is your progress, and Jesus will see you through. Jesus will deliver you from the way you think. Jesus will stand in between you and the adversary. You see the actions that you are doing, the sin that you are committing. You don't want to commit them, and you're praying unto God, but you ain't praying at the right time. You need to pray when the temptation come upon you. You need to pray before the temptation come upon you. Don't be praying after you submitted to the temptation, but pray as soon as you feel your flesh rising up. Pray and ask God for strength. Say, Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you. And I want you to see that God is going to
there. And while you're praying, it's just this distance between you and the adversary. But when you say, God, I need your help, you're going to see God coming on in the midst. You're going to see God stepping in between you and that thing that you have a problem with. And God is going to stand there as long as you need him to. He's going to stand there until those thoughts subside. He's going to stand there until the temptation is gone. He's going to stand there until you say yes, Lord. And if you say yes, Lord, you can have not just temporary deliverance. You can have permanent deliverance. Somebody say yes, Lord. See, once you move God, you have provoked him by invoking him. You invoke the name of Jesus and all of the power that comes with the name of Jesus. And now because of your sincere desire, you have provoked him to come and step in between you and your fleshly desires. You have provoked him to overcome the adversary. You can't do it. You quit trying to overcome the adversary. You can't do it. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Then resist the adversary. That's when he'll flee from you. You know that why he'll flee from you? Because once you submit yourself unto God, that's when he steps up and he is your defender. He is your fighter. He is everything you need to resist the wiles of the adversary. Somebody here is caught up into something. Something that you ought not to be caught up in. It ain't the word that you're caught up in. It's not prayer that you're caught up in. But there is something in your flesh that you are caught up in. And Jesus is telling you right now, let me step in between your soul and your flesh. Let me step in between your soul and the adversary. And all you gotta do is call upon my name. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? His name is Jesus. The name of all power. The name of deliverance. The name of salvation. Oh, I heard somebody last week say, how bad do you want? If you really want deliverance bad enough, you call on the name of Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my midnight counselor. Hallelujah. He's the one that I can cry S-O-S, save. Oh, save, Lord. I can't call on nobody else, because can't nobody else do what he's able to do. And when I call upon him and I trust that name, he comes in a hurry, in a rush to save me. Do you want to be saved today? This is your opportunity to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want some of what he's got. He seems like he's full of something. He seems like he's full of your spirit. He seems like he can walk this life and not worry about sin. Lord, I want what he has. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to be running down to this altar. If you want understanding of God's word,